You're listening to the Here's Hope Church podcast. Our weekend worship gathering times are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. To learn more about Here's Hope Church in Kokomo, Indiana, visit us online at myhopekokomo.org. Well, this morning, I've titled the message, God's Flock. And we are continuing with the Be Blessed series. We're going through the Beatitudes. And this is the third of the blessed declarations here, this teaching of Jesus that's in Matthew 5. We're going to be looking at verse 5 today, if you want to open your Bibles there. Matthew 5, 5. And we see here where Jesus, speaking to the disciples and speaking to us, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." It's a short sentence. I truly believe that there is so much incredible truth from the Lord in that sentence that if we can really understand it and apply it to our lives, it will change us. I believe that. I believe that if we take God at His word, if we believe beyond just the head knowledge, like Brad was saying earlier, if it sinks in to where we're actually trusting the Holy Spirit to apply this to who we are and to our lives, it will change us this morning. And I need that. I need to be more like Jesus. I need to be changed. Let me just ask you, do you believe that this morning? I mean, did you come here expecting that I'm going to encounter God today? I'm going to worship Him. His Spirit is there. I'm going not out of compulsion or routine. I'm going because God's invited me to meet Him today. To meet Him in the prayer, to meet Him in the music, to meet Him in the fellowship, to meet Him in the Word of God today. And I'm telling you, if you believe the Lord, if you take Him at His word, He's faithful, and He will meet you here today, and it'll change your life. We said a couple weeks ago that these teachings of Jesus, these declarations of blessing, these are in order for a reason. He gave these in a particular order. They're sequential. And in a sense, they're somewhat like a journey. They're like one step after another step into His kingdom. And so this is that third step. I want to share with you as we start this morning an allegory, a symbolic story. And you're going to recognize it because we're going to use some biblical imagery and wording. You're going to understand exactly what we're talking about. It's nothing too mysterious here. But I want to share a story with you this morning. So maybe in the theater of your mind, you might picture this. Once there was a sheep, a very dirty sheep, very smelly sheep. Sheep with a lot of briars and thorns and mud and twigs, and it gotten cut up and there was blood and its wool was just matted and it was weighed down. It had just so much dirt in it. The weight was so much that it actually caused the sheep to slump over a little and was downcast. And in my mind, I'm picturing Eeyore except a sheep, like Eeyore covered with wool maybe, just gloomy. And the sheep was in the meadow, and this meadow was a gloomy place. It was a place where the other sheep also looked like that sheep, and it was gray and somewhat parched, and it was a hot day. And the sheep looked across the meadow, and it saw this beautiful tree it had never noticed before, and it went over to that tree, and it thought, you know, this would be a place where I can maybe get some shade. I can lay down and get some rest. And so it did. It fell asleep there under the tree. And it began to dream. As the sheep began to dream, it saw itself in a meadow, like the one it was in. And this meadow was the kingdom of this world. It was a meadow that was kind of gray and dark and dreary. But then it also saw a stream flowing. And on the other side of that stream, that river, was another meadow, a different meadow, that was unlike the one that it was in. This meadow was beautiful and lush and just so much grass to eat. And this meadow was the eternal kingdom of God. And there was a great shepherd that watched over that meadow. Well, the sheep approached the stream. And as it approached the stream and got closer to that great meadow, it looked across and it saw these beautiful sheep there that were just bright, and their wool was white, and they were clean and just so almost radiant. And the dirty sheep felt even worse because it knew, you know, I can't be like those sheep. I don't know how to, and I long to. The sheep wanted to be in that beautiful meadow with that other flock that seemed so happy and so clean. And his heart sank because it longed to be there but didn't know how to get there. Well, the sheep heard a voice, and that voice said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the great meadow." And the sheep acknowledged, "That's me. I'm poor in spirit. I don't have anything of worth to give, to bring that would make me worthy of being in that meadow." The sheep understood that if it was going to come into that great meadow, it was going to be among those other sheep, it was going to be a work of compassion and mercy on the part of the shepherd to bring it there. So the sheep stood there at the edge of the stream, and it heard a voice call to it saying, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." The sheep could now see that this stream was actually blood, that it was deep, that there was a strong current flowing. And it saw, as it looked upstream a little bit, that there was a tall wooden cross. And from that wooden cross, the stream flowed, the stream of blood. And the sheep grieved because it didn't know how to get across. The sheep heard a voice that said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." The sheep began to cry and to mourn, but it stepped into the stream. And as it stepped into the stream, it began to sink under the weight of all the mud and muck that it had in its wool. And it cried out to the great shepherd. It cried out for help. And the sheep heard the voice of the shepherd saying, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever." All of a sudden, the sheep felt this presence within, this comfort, this joy, this strength, this courage to go through the stream. And he passed through and came out on the other side. And when it came out on the other side, its wool was beautiful. All the dirt was gone. It was like the sheep who lived in the great meadow. And it knew that it was now part of this other flock and belonged in that great meadow. The other sheep began to gather around, this newly arrived sheep. And they started singing out joyfully. They sang, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." The sheep awoke from the dream. And it realized it was back in the meadow it had come from, that dreary, gloomy meadow. But it hadn't changed back. It actually was still white and beautiful and clean. And it felt the presence within of that helper, giving him courage and strength. It was like a lion living inside of him. And the sheep asked that helper, he said, "How do I now live in this place? How do I live among these other sheep in this meadow?" And the helper, that lion within, answered the sheep and said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Well, this morning, these are the words of the great shepherd to us, to you and to me, his flock today. Blessed are the meek. This is how we are to live in this meadow until we go to the other one. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jesus, who washed us and cleaned us of all of our sins, tells us that we are blessed, but that we're to be meek. So what is that? What is that? It was neat to hear a confirmation last night from somebody who needed to hear that. There was a couple who was here, and somebody with the family had asked. They saw in the bulletin we were talking about the blessing of meekness, and they said, I have no idea what that means. What is that? Well, fortunately, we're going to find out today from the Word of God what that is, what meek is, and how to live that out. So what is meek? What is meek? Gentleness is a great answer. Yeah, gentleness is a good synonym. Looking at the Greek and different contexts where this word is translated, sometimes it's translated as meek, sometimes as gentleness, occasionally as humility, but mostly as gentleness. But in the original language, it's a rich word, and there's elements of strength and courage and peace that go with this. And it's a meekness, it's a gentleness that we have in Christ. What is not meek? Well, timid. I think sometimes in our use of English, we get it mixed up, and sometimes we confuse meekness with timidity. There is no element of that in this word. Timidity is not part of being meek. Fearful is not part of meek. Weakness is not part of meek at all. You know, the meekness that we have, and we'll see this in a minute, it comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit. It comes from the lion within, the Spirit of God within us. Can the Spirit of God be weak or fearful or timid? No. Strong and peaceful and gentle. So what is meek, and how do we do it? How do we get some meek? Well, if I'm going to think like a modern American, I'm thinking I'm going to Amazon, Amazon.com. I'm going to use my Amazon Prime. I'm going to get free two-day shipping on my meek. And there's probably like 20 different kinds I can get. I'll get the generic because I'm cheap. But that's not how we get it, right? Or maybe you'd think, well, I just need to go out and get the right outfit or go see my stylist ladies. And if I get the right hairstyle and, you know, get my nails done the right way, then I'll go out and I've got my meek on and I can look meek. It doesn't work that way. See, God never intended, and we can't do it. He never intended us to manufacture meekness ourselves. We can try all we want, and we can act meek just like we can act humble. There's probably a ministry course for that, Meekness 101. I can tell you right now, it doesn't work if it's saying that you're going to do it. Because meekness doesn't come from us. Meekness comes from the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's a daily work that God does in us. So let's look this morning at Galatians 5 for a minute. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5, verse 22, I'll give you a minute to get there. The Apostle Paul here, he's writing about the fruit of the Spirit. He's saying, listen, you're saved now. God has given you the Holy Spirit living within you, and because you have the Holy Spirit, when He has His way, these are the fruit. This is what it looks like in your life. And the Apostle Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, he's saying the manifestation of the Holy Spirit living within you is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and here's the word, gentleness, meekness. Same word in the Greek. Humility is what he's saying here. This gentleness from God and self-control. And I want to pause here for a second and recognize something because this is very relevant with self-control. This is not saying self-control of us, that we're controlling ourselves. This is a fruit of the Spirit. This is God being in control. This is self-control where you're yielding control to the Holy Spirit. You can't do this. Against such things, there is no law. Our meekness comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit, from yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. And this is crucial. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Faith. Just as we receive salvation, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we walk by faith. We walk by faith. And so by faith, we entrust ourselves to the Holy Spirit that He's going to keep the promises of God. He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And this fruit will be in our life. And you've got to know that. You've got to trust that. The Bible says that meekness is evidence of the Holy Spirit. It's proof that the Holy Spirit's working in your soul. Consider this when you think about meekness. Jesus, and this is recorded in Matthew 11:29, Jesus said to take my yoke upon you and learn from me because I am gentle, I am meek. Jesus, who the Father is making us more and more into, is meek. He is humble in heart. Jesus describes himself. There's a lot of descriptions of Jesus in the Bible, but he says of himself, I am meek. So if Jesus is meek, is the Holy Spirit living in you meek? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you are in Christ and you've received the Holy Spirit and you are yielding control of yourself and your life to him, meekness is going to start growing in you. That's going to be a fruit that you see. See, the opposite of meekness really is self-control apart from the Holy Spirit. If you're under the control of the Holy Spirit, you'll have meekness. If you refuse to give control to the Holy Spirit, if you're going to have your hands on the steering wheel of your life and do what you want to do and live how you want to live and have your own agenda, that's the opposite of yielding to the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't lead to meekness. It leads to sin. I was listening to Tony Evans, and he reminded me of a really funny old commercial. Some of you guys might remember this. There was a Campbell's Soup commercial a long time ago. It's probably longer than I even care to know. But you guys might remember this, where they had these NFL football players. And I think most of the guys were linemen. They were like huge and like massive muscles. And they show them at the beginning of the commercial and they're just crushing people on the field. They're like pummeling quarterbacks and sacking people. And I mean, these guys are just, they're the epitome of strength and power. And then they show in the commercial, the next scene is mom is there. And mom's got a bowl of soup, and there's soup on the table for mom, and mom says, sit down and shut up and eat your soup. Now, these linemen didn't change, okay? They still have their own will. They can make their decisions. They're strong, and they could certainly, you know, overpower mom if they wanted to, but they don't. They yield to mom's authority. Mama's there, and she's in charge. So they yield, and it's similar with the Holy Spirit. We have a choice to make, to yield. We can go in our own strength, and we may think, hey, I'm strong, and I'm powerful, and I'm smart, and I'm talented, and I can just go in my strength. But if we yield to the Holy Spirit, He knows what's best for us. So how do you know if you're meek? And our hearts are deceptive. I could probably convince myself of just about anything. How do we know? How do you know if you're meek? Well, you may not know, but other people will. It's in your relationships with people. It's in your relationships with other people. Just like many things that are qualities that we're supposed to have in Christ, we see it in our relationships with others. Forgiveness is an example. If Mark Riggle was selected to be on a reality TV show, we're all happy for Mark. You're going to do great. And but the part of the show is, this is the sad part, they're going to stick Mark on a beautiful island by himself. Nobody else is there. Now we know, yeah, he can have a volleyball net, some lobster nets, have a good time. Take your Bible and your sweet tea. You know, we know Mark, and we know what a great heart that he has, and we know, you know, Mark's a forgiving guy. It's the Holy Spirit in him. But for people watching that show who have never met Mark Riggle, none of them are going to say about Mark, man, that Mark is so forgiving. There's no way anybody would know that. Who's been there to... Yeah, how's it confirmed? Who has been there to wrong Mark in any way that he can display that he is forgiving because of the Holy Spirit in him? Meekness is the exact same way. Meekness has to do with letting God have his way in your life, of yielding control. And we've got people all around us that want to assert their agenda in their power, in their control, that we can fight against or we can trust the Lord. And we begin to see whether this meekness comes out or not. It's in our relationships. It's on display. God's so amazing. This is intentional. This is part of why we have the relationships that we have. So God can reveal these things to us. You know, are we willing to live by the Spirit? And if we are, meekness will come out. See, there's parts of the Christian life that you could keep to yourself. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There's plenty of times I know I'm poor in spirit. But I could keep that between me and the Lord. I don't have to tell any of you. I could say that from a prayer time. There's times where blessed are those who mourn. There's times I am grieved over my sin. But I can keep that between me and the Lord. I don't have to share that with any of you. You're not going to know that. But over time, you're going to know whether there's meekness or not, whether there is a gentleness from the Holy Spirit or not. I can't hide it. It's a virtue that's put on display or not. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, who are trusting in the Holy Spirit to lead, for they will inherit the earth." Meek doesn't mean that you're cowardly. Doesn't mean you let people walk on you. But it means that you don't always have to win. You don't always have to get your way. It means you're strong enough in Christ that when you don't get your way, you don't have to retaliate. You're strong enough in Christ and you trust him enough that when you're treated wrongly, you can forgive. That you can show mercy, even if the other person is wrong, that you can let them be wrong. And show grace towards them and mercy. It means that when you're talented in something, you don't have to use that talent to draw attention to yourself. That you can be humble with that and let it exalt Christ in your life instead of yourself. The meek life is a life of companionship with God. And because it's a life of companionship with God, it's a life of meaning. It's a life of significance to be meek. Do you know why sometimes we have trouble controlling our anger or our greed or our lust or our ambition or our appetites or our selfishness? The same reason we have trouble being meek. Because we're exercising self-control instead of Holy Spirit control in our life. You've got to turn your life over to him. Well, the meek life is the best life. It is the best life. And it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of him. There is no one like our God. He is eternal and infinite and all-powerful. His wisdom is perfect. His truth, his justice, his mercy are perfect. He is all-knowing, the Almighty. The Bible says that his ways are unsearchable, that his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, that he is glorious and holy and majestic, that he's perfect. And yet he's loving and good, and he chooses to be with us. He chooses to speak to us and to lead us because he loves us. You know, our God is so great that he can take the huge mistakes in your life and glorify himself in that. He can take the stuff that you just, that grieves you and that you regret, and he can work through that to bring in hope and forgiveness and healing to share with somebody else, to bring praise to Jesus' name. He's so great that he can take evil men who crucified Jesus, who nailed him to a cross. He can take that act of what they did and use that for salvation for us. Meek is not getting so upset when you don't get your way or because somebody else got their way. Meek is rejoicing when God gets his way in our life. Andrew Lloyd Jones said that meekness represents a humble and gentle attitude to others, that which is determined by a true estimate of ourselves. And by that, what he means is, Lord Jesus, apart from you, I am nothing. But Lord Jesus, I praise you for the cross because I'm not apart from you. When my faith is grounded not in myself, but in Jesus, I'm meek. When I get my hands off the steering wheel and God's in control of my life, I'm meek. When I believe the Word of God more than just up here, but in my heart, I'm meek. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You know, our Father owns everything. He owns everything. We are his dearly loved children in Christ. And he says that we have an inheritance. You can rest in that. You can rest in that. And if you have an inheritance that belongs to your Father, who's going to steal that? Who's going to prevent you from getting that inheritance? No one can. No one can. He is active, assuring that there's nothing that's going to stop you from getting everything that he intends to give you. You can trust that. You don't have to work and strive and struggle and be an aggressor in your life with other people to try to lay hold of everything you think you ought to have. We've got the promise of the Word of God saying we have an inheritance. You can believe that. You can live that way. You don't have to assert your own demands on other people and try to claim what's yours and wrestle it away from other people in your life. Our Father has an inheritance for us. The meek embrace God's will. The meek embrace God's will for their life. The Bible says in Romans 8, God is working in all things. In all things. But he's not just working in all things, he's working in all things with a purpose to make us like Jesus. God is working in all things to make all the sheep in his flock like the Lamb of God, so that we all become spotless lambs like Jesus. Sometimes that working of all things is not easy. You know, there are times that means something other than a pleasant meadow and a beautiful stream to lie next to and to rest. Sometimes it means a cross. As I was preparing for the message today, I was thinking about my prayer life and whether I put into practice what I'm preaching to you today. Whether this is more than something I believe, but something I believe. And I will confess to you that I spend a whole lot of my time really not concerned about if something is the will of God. If it's unpleasant, I want it gone. If it's something very joyful and makes me happy, thank you, Lord. But sometimes it's a cross. And I'm just being honest with you, I don't like it when it's a cross. And my prayer usually is not, Father, glorify yourself in my life, but my prayer is usually, Father, please take this cross. I don't want this. But sometimes that's what it takes to be more like Jesus. That there has to be a cross sometimes. I think a better prayer, and I hope to be able to pray this sincerely someday. Father, make me more like Jesus, no matter what it costs me. And I would like to just pray that and tell you I always mean that. On some level I do, but there's part of me that resists it and thinks, wow, what could that mean? What cross may there be for me for that to happen? But I think it's a good prayer. Is there any way to be conformed to the image of the Lamb of God without some crosses and trials in our life? Probably not. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. For they will inherit the earth. And whatever inherit the earth means, it means you're going to inherit everything your Father has for you. Everything that He knows is good for you. Everything that's going to bring glory to His name. You're going to receive it. Nothing's going to prevent that. We just need to trust Him with it and give Him control. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I see in the Scriptures that You are the glorified, resurrected King, and that You bring glory and praise to the Father by being the resurrected, glorious King. And Lord, You know I'm quick to want to share in that I don't mind glorifying the Father and being exalted or lifted up or having victories in my life, God. But Lord, I also see in Your word that You bring glory to the Father by being a crucified Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And Lord, when You wish to glorify Yourself in my life in ways that I think are difficult, God, because I'm trying to live that out of my flesh and not in the power of Your Spirit, God. I just, Lord, You know too often I try to take the steering wheel away from You. That I try to compete with You, God, for lordship of my life. Or that I'm so concerned that somebody else is going to try to be Lord, that somebody else is going to try to control things, and I wrestle against that just senselessly, Lord. But God, I want to take You at Your word, that Your Holy Spirit within, if I will yield to You, God, that You will lead me in the best way, God, that You'll bring about fruit in our lives that points people to Jesus, that may not be the way that I would choose sometimes, God, but is the best way. Lord, remind us that because you are God and because we are your children, you're going to provide for everything that we need, that we've got an inheritance from you, God, that we don't need to worry about accumulating things or having our rights or what people think of us or any of those things, God. We can just walk daily with you and have a beautiful meekness that comes about from the control of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I guess what I'm saying is we want to look like your flock. We want to look like your sheep. We want to be more like Jesus. So Lord, I just pray, help us with that. Help us to turn away from anything that's getting mud and briars in our wool, God. Help us to turn away from anything that's weighing us down and giving us an Eeyore countenance today. God, help us to trust you and to take you at your word, Lord, to let that incredible blood wash us clean. And then help us to walk in that cleanness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Glorify yourself in our lives, God, at our expense. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.